I just want to point out this psalm reiterates a theme that is the absolute centerpiece of the entire Bible. God's love is everlasting. The Hebrew word for that is chesed, from which we get this strange group of Jews, the Hasidim, the ones with the forelocks and, you know, the beards and funny-looking hats and clothes. But they supposedly devote themselves, although they stone women and insist that they not ride on the bus with them. That's what the word means. And it's really important, because I think that's one of the many things of our Jewish heritage that we've either ignored or forgotten. Okay, this familiar passage from John's Gospel, the doubting Thomas. It's very strange, because earlier in this same Gospel, and this is part of the text, it's not an emendation or an addition, as there are several such in the Gospel of John, where Jesus decries miracle-based faith. You believe you've seen all these wonderful things that have happened, wine into water, and Lazarus alive, and blah, blah, blah. John only has seven miracles, and they're called signs. So what's happening here? I doubt that this was written by the author of the fourth gospel, but rather it was set up for several purposes. The whole business of forgiveness, as the function of these poobahs in the church, but also this famous line, "My Lord and my God." You'll notice that the author doesn't have John poking around on Jesus' body. For whatever reason, if we're to believe the historical accuracy, I think this is a theological construct myself, Thomas came to believe that Jesus was the Messiah. Not God. This title, "My Lord and my God," was an imperial title. So it was used of the emperors. It was used of all kinds of people. And nobody believed that Domitian or one of those bozos who ruled in Rome were divine, although they may have made the claim. They're just special people. So it raises the question, why do I believe? In what do I believe? In miracles? Jesus walking on water, Jesus multiplying loaves, blah, 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 and so on and so on. No! I put it to you, those are all accidental to Jesus and his life. Therefore, what did they believe in? As I've said endlessly, they believe that in Jesus, God got what she wanted when she made people in the first place. A human being who is utterly faithful to God's faithful loving. So they could see it in his words, they could see it in his actions. But this is not some proclamation before the councils 300 years later, that after much fighting, said that Jesus was in fact divine. This is really important for us, because we keep displacing bases for faith, you know. A friend of mine said, "Oh, I believe in God because I was playing golf one day and the golf ball floated on a water hole." Oh, that's wonderful. Floating golf balls have nothing to do with the kind of life that Jesus led. What he said, what he did, who he was, namely this fulfillment of all things human. That's what moves people. And this should not be alien to us. Think about the people you know. A Swiss theologian whom I don't like very much, Hans-Urs von Balthasar, who wrote in German, I'll spare you the German, wrote a book that the title of which put the thing very nicely. Only love is believable. Only love is believable. Only love is believable. And if you go through your own repertoire of the hundreds or thousands of people you've met in your life, I think that should strike a note of recognition. I met three saints in my life. Strangely enough, they happened to be religious. Because I know a whole bunch of religious who are anything but saints. They're vicious, neurotic, pathological women, and men too. I remember Father Stanley Swiatek, an assistant in my parish, calling my mother and saying, I just noticed that Ronnie is really bored during Mass. So who is Stanley Swiatek? He was an arrogant pseudo-intellectual who thought that he was the direct descendant of Aristotle and Thomas Aquinas. He was a bozo who had to buy a new Oldsmobile every year, and he explained this to me. Do you think Jesus wants to ride around for sickles in some jalopy? I'm not making that up. That was the level of Father Swiatek's piety and theology and understanding of what was going on. That's criminal. Talk about flying under false pretenses. There was no obvious sign of love in that man, in my experience of him, or the vast majority of nuns that I've either worked under or with. And nothing has happened in the past 80 years to alter that assessment either, for that matter. Only love is believable. I had the great privilege of teaching with an Ursuline, not these kinds of Ursuline, like the Franciscans, there are about 52 kinds of Ursulines as there are Franciscans. Mother Stanislaus, as she was known, till they gave her back her real name, Mary Margaret. Some students that I had taught 45 years ago called me completely out of the blue to say that it was you and Mother Stanislaus who kept me from leaving the church. She loved those kids. It was palpable. She didn't hover. She didn't go out of her way to pander to them. Mary Margaret was just Mary Margaret. And that was the end. And I suspect if you go back in your own life, like the most pious, and I have Francis to attribute to support this theory, the most pious, devout, religious human being I ever taught in my 42 years at King's was an Ismaili Muslim. He was a miracle. He was a marvel. So when I hear Francis talking about Hindus and Buddhists and Muslims and atheists, he's doing no more than what the boss said. Listen, the whores and the mafiosi are going to get into the kingdom before you crooks. You pious crooks, the Pharisees. That's where he was addressing. So, it's a useful day to examine our own motives for what we believe, why we believe. We don't believe in floating golf balls or walking on water We believe because this person paid attention to me, acknowledged me, treating me as a fully fledged fellow human being with care, with solicitude, with honesty above all. And that's all I believe. Jesus never lied. Jesus never lied. And he paid dearly for it, of course. And so the cross is never far behind belief in Jesus, but there you have it. And again, it's an invitation to you. I don't live in your body. I don't have your histories. But think about the people that you've met in your life. Buddhists, atheists, whatever. And that's where your faith ought to be fixed, I think.